This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
All right, so we have a lot to discuss today, including the fact that the president has launched his re-election campaign, and Bernie Sanders responded by calling him a racist, sexist, homophobe. Oh, so creative now, isn't it? So creative. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. The Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli, and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. 1210WPHU.com is how you can listen online, streaming on radio.com. Now, of course, with the big re-election campaign announcement last night in Orlando, we can say that the presidential race has officially begun. We are officially underway here. And here we go. I think that former Governor Ed Rendell had a very important point to make yesterday. And, you know, look, I'll say this about the Gov. This is not his Democrat Party anymore. It's gone. It's a different Democrat Party than him. That's for sure. Moved very far to the left. Very far to the left. And I don't think they would put up with an Ed Rendell anymore. I really don't. I don't think an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would want to spend 5 minutes with Ed Rendell, quite frankly. She'd look at him as an old, privileged white guy who's... And she'd blame him for all the stuff that Buzz Bissinger wrote about in A Prayer for the City, segregating neighborhoods and on and on. I don't think that she would look at him as the as a standard bearer for the party because he's not a Bernie Sanders socialist. But the centrist Democrats that at one time existed, Rendell and Casey Sr. and some others, it's gone. Left in the long, long dustbin of history now. But Rendell is right in his advice here. The problem, though, is that I don't think Democrats believe this. I don't think they want to believe it. I think that they think that this was just Trump's presidency was a fluke because people, a bunch of dopes just wound up voting for him. And the dopes will, I guess, forget the election day next year around or something, or something will happen. But it's a blip on the radar. It's nothing more than that. Rendell is, they'd be wise to listen to him here.
I think we're not in as good shape as we think we are, but for different reasons than the professor. First of all, Donald Trump 2020 is going to have two advantages that Donald Trump 2016 didn't have. One, he's going to have far more money than us. He's already bankrolled a tremendous war chest, mm-hmm. and he's going to maintain that lead all the way through. Hillary Clinton had far more money than Donald Trump did in 2016. And number two, he's president presiding over a good economy. And although that hasn't shown up in the polls yet, that's still a factor as people go vote. So I think he's stronger than we think. The polls can be wrong. For example, Donald Trump's internal mm-hmm. poll showed he's trailing in Pennsylvania 55-39. There's no way he's going to lose Pennsylvania by 16 points.
Right. He's made that point.
He has a real good chance of losing Pennsylvania, but not by 16 points.
Okay.
So we Democrats, at our peril, underestimate candidate Trump.
He's right. You underestimate him at your peril. Exactly. And the polls are not accurate. And that's what Rendell's alluding to as well. The polls are not accurate, and certainly not in Pennsylvania. And they are just not in any way, shape, or form the kind of thing that we would look at and take seriously. And that's the thing. And Rendell is right to say you underestimate him at your peril. He's an incumbent and the economy is going for him in his favor. So the idea that he's losing Pennsylvania at this stage in the game, Rendell's not buying it. I'm not buying it. I don't think anybody should buy it. I really don't. I don't think anybody should buy that at this moment in any way, shape, or form. You said cut seven, Greg, but I see that's CNN. That's,
yeah, I mislabeled it.
Okay, no problem.
I have it here, brother.
All right. Now, this is Trump's campaign manager, Brad Parscale, who was speaking last night with, Major Garrett. This is outside the rally now, and he asked him about polls and polling data. And I think what Brad says here is exactly right.
I think we win an electoral landslide as of today. I think the president was
happy. An electoral landslide.
I think even more electoral points than he did last time.
President Trump's campaign manager was supremely confident when discussing the president's chances in 2020. But he would not discuss leaked internal polls showing the president trailing in key battleground states that led to the firing of three campaign pollsters. Parscale said public polling methodology is broken and the Trump data mining process is far better.
I just think the country's too complex now just to call a couple hundred people and ask them what they think. There are so many ways and different people that are going to show up to vote now. The way turnout now works, the abilities that we have to turn out voters, it's not, the polling can't understand that. And that's why it was so wrong in 2016. It was 100% wrong. Nobody got it right.
Yeah, and it's hard to, and the point that he goes on further to make, so if you can get the rest of that, he goes on to say that the polling data has changed in the sense of how you reach people has changed, and the methods of reaching people, and it's not the 1960s anymore. You don't have the ability anymore to reach people the way you did. And he's right. And so that's why to look at these polls and look at the internal polls, you can't capture it correctly. It's not a valid reflection of where things are, because we don't know how to do it anymore. I said, you know, back in 2016, I was a believer in polls. I said they were scientific, they're data, because I came from a time, and I mean, I'm not old or anything. I'm just saying that for most of our modern political lifetime, we've relied on polls. It's only in the last three years that we've realized polling data is completely shot. 2016 was the eye-opening moment when that occurred. But prior to that, everybody relied on polls. So you sat around in 2016, and I would talk to people who were very astute political people who just say, Rich, look at the data. The data, just, you know, it's not every poll can be wrong. They'd say that over and over again. Not every poll can be wrong. Well, no, it turns out every poll was wrong. They all were wrong. And so there's things going on that we don't know how to correctly correlate. We don't know if it's that people don't like to admit that they're voting for Trump because they're afraid of telling the pollster that. We don't know if it's just the fact that nobody has landlines anymore. We don't know if it's the fact that people just don't answer their phone. But whatever it is, they haven't figured it out. And in the I always use this analogy. I always say it's like a lover who strayed. Before I take you back into my life, you got to show me you've changed. You know, baby, come back. You got to show me your change. Are you a different person? Or are you going to pull the same crap in, you know, a couple years? Break my heart again. Polling has not changed. Yet, to listen to people discuss polling, they act as if everything's fine. You're putting blinders on if you think that. No, acknowledge the problem. Your polling has cheated on you. And unless your polling changes, and how does polling change? It has to clean up its ways, its methodology, has to start fresh, realize there's a problem, realize that there's lots of implicit bias that it confirms, realize that their ability to get likely voters is much different than registered voters, and their ability to actually be able to sample correctly and then to weigh those samples. They need to essentially now throw every model they have out the window and start fresh. And until they do that and they show something that's pretty accurate, I'm just not buying it. Now, can you poll a local congressional race more accurately? Yeah, probably. I think so. I just think in a national poll is impossible to do. I really think that. And I think a statewide poll in big states is incredibly, incredibly difficult to do. Maybe you can poll your town in a mayor's race. I don't know. I'm not even sure if those work anymore. But I certainly don't think a massive statewide poll or a national poll or any of these other things. And I hear people say at this stage it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters in a year from now, because a lot of people say that. Many of my colleagues say, well, at this stage polling doesn't matter. Listen, polling didn't matter the night before the election in 2016. So I don't think polling is going to matter the night before the election in 2020. Yet, that's what everybody focuses on. They focus on the polls. And I'm also amazed, too, that people in the media don't say, where's our credibility here? We're running around reporting on the same polls that were wrong in 2016, yet they have not demonstrated how they have improved their modeling. They have not demonstrated how the science and the data is accurate now. They haven't come to us and did a big presentation and say, all right, we blew it, but now we've figured out we fixed the kinks. Yet they report these things as if they're gospel. And I just think from their perspective, they look like dopes when they do that. You notice I don't play that game. When there's good polling for Trump, I don't suddenly now pretend like I believe in polls. I don't read you polls on how much people love the economy. I don't do it. I just don't do it. Because I'm consistent and I don't believe any of them. None of them. The ones that are good for him, the ones that are bad for him. I don't buy it because they haven't shown me that they've changed. So I'm not ready to take them back into my life.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.